Good morning. Hello, boys and girls. How are you? It is 1:08 in La Mañana. Hello, fellow insomniacs. How art thou? I hope thou art great. I athemeth doingeth fineth. I will say this. It took everything I had not to just go to sleep at about 10 o'clock tonight. I was pretty worn out. And then I started drinking, and all of a sudden, I was ready to go. All right, so that's kind of not true, but it kind of is. I mean, that's a weird confession to make, but usually if I drink something, I get sleepy. But tonight, I was like, actually, maybe I was dehydrated. All right, so anyway, moving on. I'm crazy. So here's the deal. Tonight I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm actually going to have my dessert while I hang out with you. Like, literally. So I went to go get the ice cream I had bought the other day, which, by the way, was pretty amazing. It was peanut butter something. Chocolate, peanut butter, a concoction of sheer joy. Okay? And wouldn't you know, I went to go get it and it was gone. Because I have children that eat all of my ice cream. That's the problem. Okay? It's ridiculous. I didn't buy it for them. Well, technically, I did buy it so that we could have something on Easter Day. But I'm just simply saying that they should have saved their dad some ice cream. And I think they're sneaking in. I think they're sneaking at night to go get it. So I've been really pretty good about my caloric. All right, probably not. I've been horrible the last couple days. But tonight, there was a little left of vanilla ice cream. So I took it. It's not chocolate peanut butter, but it's going to do. We're in such a state of affairs here that there's not even chocolate sauce. Chocolate syrup. Nobody calls it chocolate sauce. That's applesauce. Chocolate syrup is what we call it. Some people might call it chocolate sauce. Do you remember the old cans of like Hershey's chocolate syrup that you'd have to like open with a can opener? And you'd have to pop it a little bit like an old-fashioned oil can, basically. Yeah. I wish I had that right now. But I don't. All right, so I want to chat with you about a couple things. So, and then I probably will go to bed earlier tonight than norm. I finished my book tonight. I had been working on for a little while now, The World According to Garp. And it's a beast of a book. And I had some vague recollections of it because in 1982, I believe it was 1982, they came out with the movie The World According to Garp with Robin Williams playing the main character, T.S. Garp. And I don't know if I'd seen just parts of that movie. I can't imagine that I was allowed at 12 years of age to watch that movie. So I don't know if it was something that came on later, like on HBO or something, and I watched it at my grandparents' house or so. But I ended up finishing the book tonight, and there's a lot there. It's, I mean, it I think it's been close to 40 years, so it's definitely stood the test of time. But it's a pretty intense book. I don't know if I would recommend it to a lot of people. It's very well done, but it's edgy as all get out. But I think John Irving likes to play in the edgy portion of the pool, so to speak. So anyway, I don't know why I can't see the people now. Like, did I do something? Oh, there we go. I don't know what I've done. Tennille, it's good to see you. I hope you're getting a break from all your work over at the hospital. Sarah, great to see you tonight. Ryan, thanks for joining. All right, so anyway, long and short, I came out a little earlier tonight just because I'm thinking if I wrap it up, I might be able to read a little bit and then go to bed. So anyway, I wanted to show, this is more for you, Sarah, and some of my book nerds out there who will watch this later, but I want to show you two books that I've owned for a long time. And one is probably one of my all-time favorite books in the history of books. Okay? Just because it's like, it is like a, basically it's tempting an addict. We'll say that. So, here's one of them. It's called Living with Books, okay? This is a pretty decent coffee table-sized book. And in it are just books of books. And I know this is a weird thing, but I have a huge obsession with books about books. Books on books. It's like, I don't even know how to say it. Partly it's because I think that I'm always fascinated with what people keep in their office. You know, what kind of an office does somebody have? And so I always like to see what their knickknacks are on the wall. So I've been following for a little while. I have an Instagram account called, I think it's called Bookaholic One. Canadian dry. Just want you to know I'm not getting liquored up tonight. But there's all these Instagram accounts that basically have people who they're supposedly book lovers, okay? And what they are is they are so freaking obsessed with creating a picture with a bunch of damn leaves around the books that it's not about the book, it's about the photo, and it's about the placement of a book in a photo. And I hate that so much. I hate it. But this is the trend now. If you type in, like, you know, book love or whatever it is on Instagram, then you see all these people who are basically supposedly book lovers. And part of me is like, have you read any of the damn books that you have here? I mean, what are you doing? Like, you're like, literally, you've made the picture perfect kind of setup, and it's sterile to me. It's just not real. Like, when you look behind me, like, those are books that are accessible. I buy books to read, yeah, so I'm a little bit of a book snob, there's no doubt. But these kind of books, Living with Books, Alan Powers, it's such a rush in a way for me because it just gives me ideas on storage for books, and it gives me ideas on people who have a great affection for books. I feel like I should be a third grade teacher to be able to do this properly. But anyways, whatever, this is horrible. All right, long story short, that's my second favorite. Here's my first favorite of these kind of books. It's called At Home with Books, okay? At Home with Books. It's a beast of a coffee table kind of book. It's huge, all right? So I'm just going to show you this. But in this, it's just stuffed with home libraries. And that's nothing. That's just writing. That's useless. Like, home libraries. That, to me, look at that. That's delish. You can barely even see her head. It's so freaking awesome. Oh, I've flipped through that book so many times, it's just barely hanging on by a thread. But that book is delish, you know? I know, the bookshelf ladder thing is, I have a couple. We found them, they're apple orchard ladders. So you can find a couple of those in our area. And so we have a couple of those. I've used them a few times, and but I'm so fat, I'm afraid that I get stuck up there. I'm gonna need a fire person to come and rescue me. You know, like, what's the matter? Well, Chrissy climbed a ladder today, and you know, as I complain about my weight while I eat vanilla ice cream. But I'm gonna say this to you: I've been working a lot, so I feel like I can justify. I feel like I can justify this. Do you see what I'm saying? I have a book called How to Read a Book. Yeah, I have all those kind of books, basically. I was going to show you this book I had, which was basically the equivalent of Goodreads before Goodreads existed. And I would tell you what my Goodreads account is, but I can't because I'm using my phone to do this live, so I have no idea how to access it. My guess is if you typed in the Bookaholic One, then you might find me. Maybe it's my name too. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But I do a lot of stuff on Goodreads just because obviously I've got a problem. So anyway, Chris Donato, hey man, it's good to see you. I on my personal page, the Chris Padgett page, I ran out of space. So I was able to add you today because somebody got probably pissed off with me about one of my rants. So very rarely a space will open up and I'll go through and I'll click and I'll say, you know, yeah. So if you want to be friends there, you can, but I'm doing most of my stuff now on my public page here or the Happy Place Homestead. So that's where we do all our stuff. So, but anyways, good to see you. And, Joan, good to see you tonight. I wanted to show you two things. If this is okay, it's not like a hardcore self plug, but it kind of is. So I wrote a while ago, a book called Why, I couldn't remember the name of it. Why We Need the Holy Spirit. All right. And, this book is kind of cool, especially for right now. Like literally we just had Easter. And so now we're going to have 50 days. We're journeying towards right Pentecost and all this good stuff. But this is like, if you were to read this one chapter a day or so, you can read this, read the Acts of the Apostles. It's like a great little retreat. And, I think there's about 40 chapters and small chapters at the end. There's some questions. Again, it's called Why We Need the Holy Spirit. It's like a devotional / retreat with that book and the Acts of the Apostles. It's pretty cheap right now on Amazon. And those of you who are interested, if you do the Patreon thing, at some point I start sending you books. So you could even say to me, Chris, is there any way I can get the Holy Spirit book if I subscribe to Patreon, and I'll hook you up. I'll just say that. All right, what am I doing? Oh, I just wanted to show you the new one. It's called Mystery of Joy. Technically speaking, I know this is a little bit lo-fi with it being just black and white, but it's a reprint of a book that had just gone out of print for me. And what it does is it kind of follows the flow of the rosary. Many of you are not Catholic. That's fine. It's still a really enjoyable book. Very personal. A lot of funny stories. And it just kind of follows, you know, this idea of finding God in the joyful, sorrowful, glorious moments of our life. How can we learn from it? That kind of stuff, you know. And then last but not least, and just in terms of my books that I've been working on, I had written a year or two ago, a book in one travel trip. And I got up early every morning and I went and I just wrote. And I wrote about, 100 something pages. And I thought, I think this is it. I think I'm good. It was going to be a small book, no big deal. So I did this book and I decided to call it Keep Your Head Down and Your Faith Up, okay? The problem was I didn't put any chapter breaks. It was just kind of constant flow, stream of conscious, but had an organizational moment. It was like, you're going to be on this journey. Let's just do it together. Well, I gave it to my wife to look at to do the edits because that's what she does. And she basically was so pissed off with me. At some point, she's just like, you know, you can never do this to me again. You can't give me a manuscript like this. It's horrible. There's no breaks. Like, there's no chapters. So she said, you gotta fix some stuff and give it to me differently. So this year, when I had gone to Australia, I was going to be there for about, I don't know, a week and a half or two by myself. And I was doing these talks, but I had a lot of time during the day to pray and to just spend some time reflecting. I would just spend that time going through making the chapter breaks and refining things. But see, here's the thing with Linda, and most of you won't know this, but when I give her stuff, she's brutal, like brutal with it. There are many times that she'll look at it and she'll just basically say, you just need to rewrite this. Like it's horrible. That's really wonderful, right? I'm grateful for her honesty on that because I usually end up with something a lot better, but those are not the words you want to hear. Like, this sucks, basically. And so I gave it to her, a little bit of fear and trepidation, knowing that she'd already looked at it briefly once and was so irritated with me, but I thought, I've separated the chapters, I've refined it a lot, it's very clear as far as my crazy brain works. Here you go, Linda. So she's had it for a few weeks and hasn't really touched it. And today she went after it a bit and she came down. This is probably the greatest compliment I've gotten in a long time just for some of my work. She just said, "I think this is really good." And I just thought, I can't even believe I'm hearing you say that. Now she's only about a quarter of the way through, so it could completely fall apart. But I think it's going to be an encouragement to a lot of people. Keep your head down, your faith up. And sometimes it's just nice to know that what God's doing in each of our lives is beautiful, and that's good. So, had to get that off my chest. All right, let me look at your notes here. So, do you have a book journal? So, Sarah, I used to have a book journal. I had this little. I almost brought it in here. Maybe tomorrow I'll bring it. But it was. It's like a little. What are you reading? Kind of thing. And so I used to write down what I was reading and I would do that, but I don't do that anymore. What I do now is I just use Goodreads for that. So I have like on Goodreads, I probably have, I don't know, a couple dozen books I'm reading right now. And my goal this year is to just read 55 books. I'm ahead of schedule, so I don't think there'll be a problem with that. And I think I use that only because you can do everything there. It ties to Amazon for me and it ties to my Kindle and I just think that's where I'm doing most of my, and I don't have time right now to do, I'm not doing reviews of books hardly. I'm just giving them some stars, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, Tom, Tex Reed, it's good to see you. Thanks for your support. Thank you so much for being a part of this. I appreciate it. Allison, it's great to see you too. How cool is that? All right, so I know I shouldn't talk about books so much. Some of you people are like, I can't, this is not like a book thing, is it? And I'm thinking, it kind of is, all right? So I already told you, I can't help it. Books and music, faith, family, that's kind of my deal. And apparently ice cream. So, is your library in any kind of order? Okay. Yes, but it's my brain, so that means that it's going to be chaos to you. I just know that's true. So right behind me are let's see if I can show you. This bottom row down here is all of the a lot of the Mariology books that I did for when I did my thesis. And I did my thesis on a guy named Father Juniper Carroll, OFM, Order of Franciscans Minor. And actually, that book, I've repackaged it. It's coming out as a book for mass consumption. That'll be available, hopefully, in the next few weeks. It's just called The Life and Mariology of Father Juniper Carroll. I can only think of maybe a few people on the planet that would probably even be remotely interested in it. But it is kind of fascinating. So if you like hearing stories about priests, I do a little bit of a biography, and then if you like teachings about what the Catholic Church says about Mary, you can look at a lot of it from this guy's perspective. So that was my thesis for my licentiate, which is a pontifical degree, and we're repackaging that, putting that out. So I have some really rare books with that, a lot of stuff I've worked on, and then right above there is more books on Mary. So I probably have an exceptionally ridiculously large collection of books on the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I recognize that that's not normal, but it was my field of study. So I majored in what's called systematic theology with an emphasis in Mariology, the study of Mary. So those of you who are not Catholic, it just means that I did a lot of study on, like, who is Mary? What's her role? Was she just a person that gave birth to Jesus? Does she have any type of role in terms of church teaching? What's going on? Do we worship her? You know, what's her role? And it's kind of awesome. The more you study about Mary, the more you realize she's pointing us to Jesus. So it's a pretty cool thing, honestly. And then I would say this in my office here, which is really difficult. I don't know if I can actually show you am here, but okay. So in my office, I have all of probably my favorite books in here. Most of them anyway, most of them. So, most of these are not religious books in here. Most of them are not. So these are like
fiction primarily. To be honest, I don't have a place for just one set of books. They're all over the house. So in the living room are like the fantasy, sci-fi, mysteries. And then in upstairs are all the theology books. So floor to ceiling, it's all like commentaries and religious books. We call it the Harry Potter closet, which is a closet that we just built shelving in. Floor to ceiling in there, it's just all sorts of theology books. And so in terms of, if you said to me, Chris, do you have this book? If you showed me what the book looked like, I could tell you if I had it. Does Linda have a place for her books? Of course. I've given her a small space up in the cupola. She can have up there. I say my books are her books, but she does have her own books. She's got books on gardening. She's got books on, I don't know. She is not a fiction reader. She's a nonfiction reader. Does that make sense? So we have different tastes in books. It's usually she would rather read a how-to book. She likes to read stories about people and biographies, autobiographies, but she's not fiction. I, on the other hand, am primarily more fiction, and it just clicks for my brain a lot better. So anyway, I feel like I'm darker now than I was. Like the lighting, you probably don't care. I'm neurotic. So anyway, whatever. So here's a true story. So when I was, before I got married, we went to, Linda and I were going to school at Palm Beach Atlantic. It was a college back then in West Palm Beach, Florida. And so we graduated in 88. And I don't know, I think Linda wanted to go to like University of Florida with the Gators. I had no direction whatsoever on where I wanted to go to college. We were living in Florida, obviously. So there were big colleges like FSU and of course Florida, and there's University of South Florida. So but I don't know how. I must have gotten a come and see type of card, and we went to this place, Palm Beach Atlantic College, over in West Palm Beach area. And it was a small school. It was religiously oriented, so it was a Baptist kind of roots school. And I thought, well, I could maybe major in theology, you know, religion or English or something. So when I got there for the come and see, you know, we ended up having some really cool experiences and realized, I think we'll go here. So Linda and I both went to that same school, and I had a major, like, come to Jesus moment my freshman year. And I was really struggling for a while and some stuff that, you know, was kind of a little bit embarrassing and horrible. And I was just kind of losing myself quite a bit. And I felt like in some ways I couldn't imagine that God would want to even have me in his posse anymore. I'd done some stupid stuff. So anyway, I had this really pretty profound experience, and I realized that I could give my life to Christ again, and really, it was a life-changing moment for me. And I had made this commitment, like, I'm never going back. So Linda and I both, we just started pursuing, we just started really going after our faith. And so when we got engaged, they were going to do a bachelor party for me, and they were going to do it as a wake. So they were going to pretend that I died, and then they were going to memorialize me. So in the middle of the, early evening, they came by and they kidnapped me. Linda was aware of it. We were having dinner or something, and we heard a knock at the door. They captured me. They put a blanket over me. They threw me in a car, and then they took me to this location, and then they did this eulogy for my death. And in the process, they started showing all these funny things. They had stolen clothes of mine. They'd stolen books of mine and all that. And it was an awesome time. And my friend Brian Foreman, who was my best man, put it all on. And we still keep in touch. He's a good guy. He's a pastor in New Hampshire of a church. Well, right before this had happened, I was looking at my bookshelf, and I noticed there were about five or six books missing. Now, you have to understand, I didn't have nearly as many books then as I do now, but I had a lot for a college guy. And I am going through Chris Padgett obsessive moments where I can't even have a conversation because I'm like, literally, where are these five or six books? I know they were just here the other day. They're not here. Linda is trying her best not to disclose anything. But at one point, she finally just broke down. She's like, they're okay. Your books are just fine. Okay, they're not here right now. I loaned them to somebody, but they're going to be okay. You're going to get them back. So here's the way it works for my brain is that, like, I know where most everything's at, but nobody else would. And they're not as organized as I'd like it to be. That is the longest answer to a stupid, like, simple question. So it's an embarrassment. I apologize. But did you see Twilight on my shelf? I don't think that Twilight's in this room, but I have all of them. Okay, I do. Stephanie Meyer, we read them all. I've read them all. The only book of hers that I have not read, I haven't read the last two. She did one, I don't know what The Host. I didn't read that. Linda read that. And then she had one I started. I think I started it. And it wasn't very good. I thought I saw it, but it was, I think it's upstairs. So we have Ella's room, there's a whole library in there for kids' books or young adult books. So there's that. Anyway, I've literally bored you guys to death. I really am so sorry. Tim, thanks for tuning in tonight. Don't give up yet. You need to brush your hair. Junior. Have you never seen me before? Do you think that this is an accident? This is how it works here, okay? This is one something in the morning. Who cares, right? At this point, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I imagine most of you are out there sitting, you know, smoking filterless Pall Malls, you know, in your bathrobe with a can of beer and burping up, you know, earlier dinner. So, I mean, look, this is a safe place. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You love The Host. Yeah, so look, she was not known as a great writer, Stephanie Meyer. She just was basically known as, she wrote like you're watching a television series, kind of. So it's like, it's hardcore. It's not a simple, she wrote for them to show up in a movie form. Whereas other people who have written novels that are highly respected and revered are usually not immediately thinking, I wonder how this translates to a movie, but blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm almost done with this ice cream. It's melting now. Tracy, how awesome to see you tonight. James, good to see you, brother. Anthony, I love you, baby. Ken from Canada, how are you, my friend? So James told me last night, he texted me after I was done with this, and he said that Stephen King frequents a used bookstore, or actually a Barnes & Noble in his area, and has for many, many years. So I'm trying to figure out how to get James to hunt, basically, Stephen King down to get me a signed copy of one of his books without going to jail, basically. That's what I'm trying to figure out how to do now. So, anyway, so we talked a little bit about books tonight, which is great, and I love talking about them. I could talk about books for pretty much ever, because that's a thing for me, right? We talked a little bit about a couple of the books that I have coming out, which I'm pretty pumped about. This has been a good time for me, since obviously there's nothing else going on in my life. I'm publishing books, which nobody can afford right now, so that's awesome. But last night we did a segment on music, and I want to bring up a guy that I'm 100% nobody has ever heard of, and then you can try to prove me wrong, but you won't. There's nobody I know who's ever heard of this guy. His name is Joe Hickerson, and Joe Hickerson was a folk singer. And so if you go back and you think of the time with early, like, you know, Bob Dylan and so probably even 60s, 70s, but there was this whole movement of these folk artists. And Joe Hickerson, the only reason I know this guy is that my stepmother would sing his songs as we traveled from place to place. And then they had this guy's voice. Hey, Alexa, play Joe Hickerson. I'm going to see if I can get him to...
songs by Joe Hickerson on Amazon Music.
So this guy sounds like a hillbilly. But I love this stuff. Like, this is the kind of music as a kid that I was exposed to. And his voice is just a little bit raw and a little bit edgy, but it's pretty solid. A lot of memories for me. I feel like all the imagery of banjos are coming into your mind right now. And in a nutshell, that was my life. All right, Alexa, stop. I've tormented you guys so much already tonight. I love that kind of... Alexa, stop. What a freaking wench. She's so pushy. Anyway. And now I'm second guessing. I probably should not have called Alexa a wench. She literally, her little blue light just went on right now. I feel like at some point she's gonna verbally berate me. All right, whatever. Lauren Bailey from Australia. So awesome to see you. And Hannah Ray, thanks for tuning in. Yeah, bluegrass. It's definitely got a bluegrass vibe. But Joe Hickerson, I think it's just a lot of sentimental. It's a lot of sentimental, like, kind of value for me. So even if I think of when I listen to the Talking Heads, for me, it's not that it's so in love with the Talking Heads music, but that was a record that my dad had. And for me growing up, it was kind of like an awesome... I don't know. It was an awesome, it's an awesome way for me to connect a little bit to my past, to my family. And so it's kind of cool. I mentioned that yesterday. It's a thing I'm fascinated with, how smells, like our senses, are like catalysts that take us back to, you know, these periods in our life. It's kind of amazing how a smell will trigger a memory of our grandmother and her cooking on Christmas, or how, you know, the evening you might go outside and just smell something, and all of a sudden it triggers a memory of when you were a kid trick or treating or something. And same thing with music. Like, I still remember where I was at when certain songs are played, like the first time I heard it. It's crazy to me how I remember hearing Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. I was sitting in the back seat of a car. I think it was in Valley City, North Dakota. And I forgot Aaron's last name, but it was his car with his family. I don't know why I was in the car or where I was going, but I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, like, I love this song. Or hearing Pink Floyd's The Wall coming on radio. And I remember exactly where I was at. In fact, I remember hearing that, oh, it's too hot, too hot, too hot, baby, gotta run for shelter, gotta run for shit. That was in the same time frame where I had this little radio in my room and I was allowed to play it at night, and I would just kind of fall asleep to those songs. So to me, especially as a writer and a storyteller, like, I'm always interested in figuring out what are triggers for me, because if there are triggers for me, then a lot of times they're triggers for other people. So, like, for example, today when we did the county route report at noon, which we do every day at around noon, Linda and I, we do this county route report. We talked about kaleidoscopes. It was a little bit of an accident because we were not planning on talking about kaleidoscopes, but I remember that as a kid, and you know, the ViewMaster and stuff like that. And so I'll tell you, and this is maybe more serious for an evening kind of just hangout session than I would like to probably get, but I think there's a reason for me on why I like to remember those early years or when I was young, because I'm trying to get back to the moments of when I was a kid. And there were a lot of difficulties and struggles, but there were a lot of great memories. And I learned a lot of principles about people, relationships, and stuff like that. Lauren, we're praying for you in your exam. Absolutely. We got your back. No problem there. So anyway, Tom, your whole reference here to Confederacy of Dunces, I will tell you something. I started reading that. I probably got about halfway through that, and then I must have got distracted because I didn't finish it. But it was excellent and a very unique take in terms of that time frame. That's for sure. So that is a classic. I hope to finish it one day. I don't know where I put it. So that is true. I am bragging about where I know all of my books are. But that book, it is a little bit of a mystery where I put it. I have some ideas. I'm sure I could find it in about a year or two. So moving on. Ray Campbell, last name. I'm not sure I understand what you're doing there or what you're asking. Ray. Every time you tell Alexa to do something on your videos, mine does it. For real? That's hilarious. That's awesome, actually. Easter is done in terms of the day, but for us, we celebrate Easter for quite a while, right? Happy Easter. He is risen. Here's one of the benefits and the bonuses of Easter if you're a parent is usually, when you're setting up the Easter basket. By the way, spoiler alert. So if you're sensitive to the Easter bunny, you should leave now. Because it's an adult. You know what I'm saying? When we're setting up the Easter baskets, it is not uncommon for many of those Reese's cups to end up in my mouth. I don't know how it happens. It's crazy. I think there's no other explanation except that they're committing suicide, obviously, by thrusting and giving themselves over to the gap in my face. So anyway, then Easter Day, when the kids are eating their candy, at some point as parents, we look at our kids or grandkids and we say something like, don't eat it all at one time, like pace yourself. And the reason we're saying that is because later on that night, we're gonna wanna have some of the leftover candy. Like, so they can't eat it all, they have to share. This is literally on my desk, the last Reese's cup I'm confident that's in this house. We already saw today, as evidenced by the bowl of vanilla ice cream that I had, that my kids are basically horrible, small little vagrants that go about the house in the middle of the evening stealing the leftover ice cream, specifically the ice cream that I love and I cherish and that I actually got to help console me in my moments of depression. It's gone. So, thankfully, this here is like, it's like the last, you know, cigarette for a smoker. You see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? You picking up what I'm throwing down? Robert, thanks for tuning in tonight. Anne Elizabeth Glockner, thanks for tuning in. My sister had a radio that she put in her window, and we live in Nevada out in the middle of nowhere. So the only way she, and then that's all I can see. That's pretty funny because then it says see more, but I can't click. Oh, I guess I can. Only way she could get KFI radio was to put an iron next to it and have the antenna touch the open. That's pretty awesome, actually. That's some innovative Nebraska thinking right there, Anna. Yeah, I mean, you know, we all grew up in the time where we had the antenna, the rabbit ears and stuff like that. And then my joke is you always had to go back and kind of fondle the back of the television and just kind of soothe it and talk to it and let the television know that you loved it. And then to get it from, you know, kind of, I don't know, going up and down and getting all staticky. So we did a lot of things just to get clear reception. We all kind of take it for granted now, that's for sure. So, anyway, hey, listen, I think ultimately tonight I was just going to make it super chill and easy and relaxed and hang out for a few and then go back and read a little bit. I've basically got a momentum going, so I want to try to finish a couple more books here. I have a lot on my to-be-read file. So leave me your prayer requests. I will run through some of those tonight. Yeah, we do that, as I mentioned, every night. We do that in the family prayer time, so we try to remember all of you. And for those of you who are kind enough, and I always feel stupid asking this, but those of you who are interested in supporting our mission and what we're doing, which, by the way, technically this is not really part of the mission, although this is just something I like to do. So if you're thinking, why am I going to pay this guy to do this? Because this is pretty unorganized. Yes, it is. But the reality of what we do is we put out tons of books and resources for people. We create programs for youth leaders and DREs and marriage retreats and you name it. If it's done in a church, we try to be a part of creating content that will help people. But just even on a personal level, Linda and I really have a conviction to try to encourage people where they are. We want to help people find just find some peace amidst the chaos that's so life, encourage them, lift them up. So honestly, there's no pressure. And you don't have to support us financially for us to be an encouragement and a blessing in your life. But we did create some stuff. And what we've done is we did it in tiers, because the way Patreon works is that you can set up these levels. So if somebody donates a certain amount of money, and literally could be as little as $5 and as much as, you know, hundreds of dollars if you wanted to. And what it is that we give you some exclusive content, which I promise will be coming out soon. Tons of links to videos that are already done and uploaded, and just resources. So blah, blah, blah. It's what it is. And I think part of this has come about obviously because of the virus and how it's impacting people like me, who's my whole job is traveling and doing talks. But it's also the reality of just trying to create content and do what I love to do anyways. So even if I were able to travel right now, I'd still be doing this and creating these things on Patreon, because I like the idea of doing stuff for people. And I know I would do that. To be honest, there are certain people that I like, and I think I would probably be interested in, like if Stephen King was going to do like a little deal, I'd probably be interested in that, because I'm so fascinated with his work ethic. And like, he is a beast when it comes to his discipline for writing. So that'd be interesting to me, you know. Like, I'm the kind of guy, I sign up for, like, some of these people have been offering their phone numbers. They're not really their phone numbers. You're, like, placed into this huge, massive, kind of automated output of a video or whatever. Everybody has them now. And so I'm on a couple of those, too, and I'll watch them. And I'm fairly confident that, you know, if I respond to them, they'll never respond back, because they'll never see any of the messages. But anyway, and some of the tiers that we did for the Patreon account, you actually would be able to communicate with me anytime you wanted. And we do this thing with Marco Polo a lot. So we're creating up some little kind of cool rooms and areas that we could hang out and stuff. Blah, blah. I feel like that's way too much. That's too long of a commercial. If you want to support, you can. It's there. That's all I'll say about that. All right. So we're going to pray for you, Hannah, that you feel better. Praying you feel better. That's sad. I'm sorry that you've been feeling sick. Prayer intention. Do I have any prayer intentions? Joan, thanks for asking me. Well, I'm praying for my kids, especially. I think some of them are getting squirrely. Like, it's not that they're bored. It's just that I think they miss that community and that fellowship with each other in school. I think they miss that. And I can handle it because I'm a bit of an introvert, so I like kind of being alone. But some of my kids are not introverts, and this is very hard for them. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is just figuring out how to take care of my family and do things in a whole different way now, since I'm not able to travel. Just trying to pray for discernment on how to do that and provide for the family, but to do what I love. Because the way some of you know this because you have some sickness health issues as well, but I can't just go get a job at like a public place with this virus going around, because I'm susceptible to that kind of a virus, because my immune system's probably not as strong as it could be, but because of my heart. So so the idea of you know, just trying to find ways to do what I love to do and take care of my family. So some of you already support us, and I'm so thankful. And some of you are new to this. So anyway, I don't know. I hate talking about money, to be honest, but it's part of reality. And so, yeah, we would love prayers for that. So for finances and to be wise with what we've been given. And I guess that's that. So leave your prayer requests. Know that we love you, that we're praying for you, that we're cheering you on. And I'm sure we'll see some of you tomorrow when we do our County Route report. So I'm going to probably get some rest. God bless you. Thanks.